as I said last week, even when I started these teachings about 3 months ago now, or even over 3 months ago now, I was really looking forward to the last couple of weeks, because that's what really triggered something in me in this area of walking in joy in my life. So it's been that long. And like I said, I plan on staying there.
Hallelujah.
I don't see any reason to leave. And today I get to share one of the actual trigger in my life that kind of showed me that, hey, this is important. And God, in my quiet time alone with Him, was showing me that this was important for me. And I do believe if it's important for me, it's important for other believers as well. Okay? He doesn't give something to one person and say, no, that's just for you. It's not for anybody else. Okay? It's for all believers. So, in fact, last week, I said, maybe you can think about, see if you can figure out what that one trigger was. And then the funny thing was, 5 minutes into his teaching, he shared what it was. He got up right after he and shared exactly what it was. I look back and I go, he's doing it. He's right now. And that often happens, though. All I can say is I've been around many pastors and other ministers and got to speak and speak after them and before them. And what's so interesting is God will actually have something come out of the one that the other one didn't even know. The one time Shane was preparing last minute because he didn't know he'd be sharing the morning, so he wasn't in here. And I taught, and he came back in and shared two or three of the very same things that I did not even know that I was sharing it. And I like to say, God's not confused. You know, what he's going to show one person, he's going to show someone else. It's not two separate things. If he's got something he wants to get to his church, then he's going to get it to his church. And so that always excites me when that happens. It just confirms in me that I am hearing what God is wanting me to share. You know? So, last week, this week we're going to pick off where we left off last week. Last week we talked about four of the things that we can find in the Word of God that kind of triggers or draws from, you can use many different words, enables you to access and walk out from the joy that God has already put in us. We've already established in all the weeks prior to these last 2 weeks, there's joy in us, okay? Now, what God said is, to me, in private time, it's not enough just to walk around and say, yeah, I'm full of joy. You shouldn't have to tell anyone. In other words, they should just see you living your life and know this person has joy. Okay? Well, so that's really what we're getting into these last 2 weeks is, what do we do? What can we do to access and then walk in and walk out the joy that God's put in us? So, just briefly running through the four things that we talked about last week before we go on, it was spend time in the presence of God. The Bible makes it very clear in Psalm 16:11. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. And that's really a starting point for everything else that I'll share. Because if you don't do that, you'll find that you won't be doing any of the rest of this either. It all starts in spending time alone with God. Okay? From there, we looked at even more specifically in that alone time with God, and that's spending time in God's Word, and that you'll find joy there. So it's a little more specific. It's still part of spending time with God, but specifically in His Word. Then we looked at two more that are somewhat tied together, and we've made it clear that joy is not based on situations, circumstances, outcome, mood, anything like that. That's really talking about happiness. But rather that the Bible makes it very clear there's two outcomes that we are to look at. First is looking back at the joy of our salvation. If you want to draw from joy, have joy coming up out of you that you are then walking in, consider, look back, and remember the joy of your salvation. The second is looking forward. I don't think it's possible, at least for me it's not, to look forward and see God's final victory. And the fact that because He wins, we win. That just brings joy up out of you automatically. So if you ever find yourself not walking in joy, you can go to any one of these and draw from them. You know, the Word says these things will bring up the joy that's in you and out of you. So if you want to walk in joy, then use these. Do as the Bible says to do, and you will be walking in this joy. Okay? So, now, Here's what Pastor Bill said last week. In fact, I went back through and listened about, it only took him, like I said, 5 minutes to get back to mention that one thing. I don't know if any of you thought of it. I doubt he was even thinking of it. It's just what God had him share. I don't know that he was thinking back, well, Alan, what was Alan going to share next week? I'm sure that wasn't it, but it just came out of him. And this is what he said. He said, in walking out the purpose of God for our lives, there is fulfillment and great joy. Okay? And that's really was the trigger point in my life. I was using a different word. He called it purpose, but there's a definite link. We each have a purpose that God's put in us. There's a purpose. Another way to put that is when you walk in the will of God for your life. That is his purpose specifically for you. And so he used the word purpose. What God had been sharing with me and the way that I saw it was walking in God's will for my life. And when I got that and could see that I was then doing that, that's when all this joy started surfacing. In other words, it was no longer just in here. It started coming out all the time. And as I walked through my life, since that point in time, joy just comes out. It's I will call it a spiritual byproduct. You can say, well, that's just natural. No, it's not natural. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual byproduct. It just comes out. When you are really doing that, which is God's purpose or his will for your life. And it's important, and I want to bring this point up because this is important. You're going to see this when we go to the Word to back this up. As I said, I'm not sharing this just based on my experiences. Pastor Bill and I got to talk a little bit this week, and what I remember in the phone call, I said, one of the things I try to make sure and do when I'm sharing is I don't use my life experiences to share with you about how God works and then try to find a way that God's Word lines up with my experiences. That's not the way to do it. You see what the Word of God says, and you look back, is my life lining up with that? Okay? And that way you won't get... We actually both were thinking of the same word at the same time when we were talking on the telephone. You won't start creating some doctrine that's off. If you start creating doctrines based on your own life, things are going to get messed up real quick. Okay? So find what the Word says. So we're going to go there. But one of the things I want to share with you, and you're going to see this in this Word, is that I started experiencing and walking in and tapping into the joy that God's put in me before I left on the trip. Okay? I came back and shared with you many of the great outcomes that I saw on the trip. Okay? That Satan tried to do this and then God did something greater. And Satan tried to do this and God did something greater. But we've already talked about it's not the outcomes, be it all good outcomes, that's not what we base our joy on. That's not the source of our joy. And we're going to see this in this passage we go to. Because you may start thinking, where is this in the Bible? You're going to see a place in the Bible where the disciples went out and they came back and they were joying in their outcomes. And Jesus says, wait a minute. It's okay to joy in those outcomes. It's not that it's wrong, but that's really not your source of joy. And what you should be having this joy in you from. So let's actually go there and look at it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17. I'm sure you all know this story. This is when Jesus sends out the 70 two by two. And he sends them out and he gives them specific instructions as to what they're to do. He's sending them out to go in advance of him, to go to all the places that he intends on going. Okay, so Jesus is going to go to all these places. He's sending these 70 out two by two in front. But he gives them instructions as to where to go, what to do, how to do it. What does that sound like? That sounds like God's will, right? You need to know, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to do it with? Is now the time to do it? Or is this sometime down the road? In other words, all of this is involved in God's will. I actually remember doing a teaching on this a year or two ago in here. That it's not just, oh, am I doing what God wants me to do? And say, oh, that's the will of God. It's all of those. All of them together. And then, of course, doing them all in the right heart. If you're not doing them in the right heart, it doesn't really matter in the love of God. So let's look at this. Luke 10:17 says, then the 70 returned with joy. saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, is it a good thing that the demons are subject to them in the name of Jesus? Great thing. Okay? So these experiences, when you have great outcomes within the ministry that God has you to do, it's not that it's wrong to rejoice, but Jesus says there's actually something more important than that. Okay? And I'm sure you already know what it is. You all have sat in this church long enough, you know this story. And this is what we should be considering as we walk out our lives doing the will of God in our life. Okay? And it is this thing. First, I want to share one thing on that that stood out to me. God had me look at it when I was looking at the verse in Luke 10:17. And it says, they returned with joy. And that word with there, and it's probably a word it's actually used today because there's a large company that kind of changed its name to incorporate the actual Greek word used here. You know, and or even someone changed his actual name, a person, okay, as part of this very thing. Meta. Okay, and you may be able to think of company names and or this person's name, a basketball player in the NBA. Meta means with. So they returned with joy. Now, when you think of with joy, that means it's accompanying you wherever you go. That's with. If Josiah goes with me, let's say, to Washington, D.C., and then comes back, he's accompanying me the whole way. So I like to think of that when he says they return with joy, that it's just going, joy goes right along with you wherever you go. And that's what's happening with me now. Joy just goes with me wherever I go. It's coming with me. It's like it's along for the ride. Wherever I go, joy is there because he's there. That's the key. He's there. So don't leave this place because, as I said, we're going to look now at what Jesus says is even the more important part in this. And so as I continue to do what God has me to do, I'm aware of his presence all the time. And the joy that we're talking about here, I'm getting to experience it. And it's a great thing. All I can say is, I can say that prior to this time, I knew joy was in me. But was I walking in it to the extent that God wanted me to? No. Which is why in my quiet time, he brought this to my attention and started sharing this with me, so that I could be walking the way that he wanted me to walk. All I will say is, I don't think I'm the only one, okay? God speaks, he's not just saying it to one person. So all I will say is, if he's saying this to you, dig into this word and this truth yourself and spend some alone time with God and see what he shares with you about it. He may share it differently than he did to me. But to me, it's just something great to be walking in, and I encourage each one of you to. It lets you see life from God's perspective. When you walk the way that he would have you walk, you start seeing things differently because you're living out of him rather than out of yourself. And when you live out of yourself, you tend to look at things differently. Okay? So live out of this joy and walk in this joy and walk it out in your life, and you'll start seeing everything around you differently. So now let's go back and let's look at what Jesus says once they returned with joy. And they said, oh, because these demons have to listen to us. Once again, great thing. I like it when demons listen to me because it sets people free. It's not about saying, look what I did, I cast out a demon. Nah. It's about the person that had the demon in him is now set free. That's joy. I mean, that is just something there. He does listen and has to. So it's a great thing. But in verse 20, just skip down a few verses. Jesus says there, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? It says written in heaven in the New King James Version. But that literally means our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When it talks about it in the book of Revelation, it says that because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, it's for that reason that you get to enter into the New Jerusalem. Okay? Rejoice in that. You, It's part of looking ahead to that final outcome that we talked about. Another more specific part of that. He wins, we win. Well, part of that winning is we get to enter in to his presence in heaven. And it's because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is something that you can draw from any time in your day. Not feeling joy? Think of, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And joy just starts coming up. Because it's just one of the truths that God has said we need to look at. Jesus said it right here. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So now I'm going to go back to a verse that we looked at a couple times maybe in these last 10 weeks or so. But I want to look at something specific in that verse now. And that is in John chapter 15, verse 11. So, in John 15, 11, it says this. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, so do you want to know how to have your joy be full? Okay. He says, I'm going to tell you. Jesus is telling you. He says, these things I've spoken to you. So what do you need to find out? If these things make you full of joy and bring joy, you got to go back and look at what was he talking about, right? Okay. It's not this statement. It's what came before it. Because he said, these things that I've talked to you about, I've said these things for a reason. Well, what were those things? Okay. The reason is so that you can be full of joy. Just walking in it. It's coming out of you. So what did he say back in verses 9 and 10? He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's all about love. And what does love do? Let's think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, love gives. And if you want to walk out with part of what the Bible describes as love, one of the main parts is giving. Well, guess what? This verse is talking about you want to see joy in your life. Let's live in the type of love that God says we need to live, that he's told us that we need to live and walk out love. It's by giving. And I don't mean just giving monetarily. You will draw on the joy that's in you when you give monetarily to someone who's in need. I actually love doing it. In fact, it's another way for me that even prior to this last, let's say, 6 months with God with me, it's probably the one way that I drew on joy more than any other. I love seeing a need and going, here. Now, we don't give so that we experience joy and walk in joy. It's just a byproduct, okay? It comes along with it, okay? I don't know if any of you are like that. The world can't explain it. Like, you know, one of the ways that things I just love doing the most? Giving to someone who needs. It brings me joy. It just draws it right up out of me. And like I said, I don't do it for that, and we shouldn't. But it doesn't have to be just giving monetarily. If you give of your time, to someone has need of your time. It's giving out of love. Whatever it is those around you need, when you give out of love, the word says you're going to be experiencing joy. You'll be walking in it. Okay? So that's another way to access, to draw from that joy that's in you. So now, next I'm going to kind of tie two things together. One we've already talked about a little bit. But it's another place where in God's word, he does make a tie-in of some things. And the two that I'm going to share with you to kind of go together, more ways to draw from joy, the joy that's in you, is thankfulness and praise and worship. Those two, if you don't know it, they kind of go together. If you're not thankful, you're probably not really praising and worshiping the way you should be. Seriously. It's really hard to praise and worship God if you're not thankful. Okay? So these kind of go together. You're probably not going to do one without the other. But there's a passage in the Word. When I talked to Pastor Bill, he'd call me just after God had directed me to read through this passage. And can I tell you, have I spent a ton of time in the book of Nehemiah in my life? No. There's other books I spend a lot more time in, is all I will say. But God led me to go back and look at a passage because I started thinking about Thanksgiving. And in thinking of Thanksgiving, I go, hey, there's a place in the Bible where there's actually these two choirs of Thanksgiving. That's literally what they're called, choirs of Thanksgiving. And there's two of them. One of them's led by Ezra. One of them's led by Nehemiah, and they go in two different directions around the wall of Jerusalem, out from the gates, and they go two different ways. And so let's go to and look at Nehemiah. If you want to read the whole passage, I encourage you to do so. It's 16, 17 verses long, so we're not going to do that now. What we're going to look at is the first verse and the last verse in this little section in Nehemiah. So we're going to look at 12:27, Nehemiah 12:27 first. And verse 27 says this, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps." So when it says they bring them all to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication, it was the dedication of the wall that had just been built. Okay? That's what they're talking about. If you go back and read prior to this, if you know the story, there's this wall that they've built. And they're to come and to remember all that God has done for them, being thankful. And to do so by singing and having music with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, and these two choirs then lead them in thanksgiving. And it's what's going on throughout the dedication of this wall, throughout this day. If you read the passage, it's what's going on the whole time. It's a time of thanksgiving as much as it is a time of dedication of this wall. Let's look down at verse 43. Kind of ends this passage. I want you to see what the culmination is of this dedication and of all this time the people have spent praising and thanking God in praise at this dedication of the wall. It says there in verse 43, "Also, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced." Rejoicing comes out of joy. "For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." Notice there it says, God made them rejoice? Now, think about it here. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them then. So in other words, it wasn't there to draw from like we have. All I can say is at this time it looks like God caused that joy to be there in them. Okay, it's just God made them rejoice. Once again, I like saying this to people. Sometimes when people look at you, go, "What he made that?" All I can say is that's what it says in my Bible. It right there. They're not my words. It says God made them rejoice with great joy. Okay, now so it's part of this byproduct. Once again, of drawing from this great joy is that there will be rejoicing. Now, but I want you to catch that last phrase. "So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." People are going to know that you're full of joy because they're going to hear it. If in fact you're really doing what God says you're to do. You can't keep this joy inside of you and just go, "I'm full of joy." You know, they're going to hear it, they're going to know it, and hear it from afar off. I can tell you there's a person I know, and I've mentioned it here before. When I look up or think about the word joy when I'm reading my Bible, I see a face of a person. And many of you know him, it's Kevin Burroughs. I can tell you, you cannot be around that person without experiencing and knowing that he lives in joy all the time. It's just awesome. You like being around them. I don't know of anyone that likes being around, there's a word. Oh, Debbie Downer, I think is the way they phrase it. You don't want to be around that person, okay? But you do want to be around Kevin full of joy. I mean, it's actually, being around someone full of joy like that rubs off on you. It really does. And so, in fact, when I read this passage, and this passage greatly reminds me of Kevin because it talks about them singing and praising out of the joy that God made them experience. Kevin can't stop praising and worshiping. He does it all throughout the day. Kevin worked, I was an inside sales manager back in Titusville, PA, and I got Kevin hired because I wanted him to work for me. Right when he came out of high school, he was just like 18 years old, and he sat in the next partition over from me. You know how they just rise up so high, so it was only this high. It wasn't like he was in a separate room. And he'd be working, and he'd just start praising and worshiping God. Out loud. Pretty loud. Heard at least as far off as my desk. And I'm over there working on spreadsheets, and I go, Kevin? And he'd go, what? He really didn't even know what he was doing, per se. I mean, he did, but he would just, I mean, this happened. After about 3 or 4 months of me doing this, and about the 10th or 15th time, he goes, yeah, I know. But that's just him. He's praising and worshiping all the time because of the joy that's in him. And now, I'd say just keep doing it, Kevin. Just keep doing it. If God has you praising and worshiping throughout your day, keep doing it. It's drawing on that joy that's in you. And you'll walk in that joy the way God wants you to. So, all I will say at that time in my life, it bugged me a bit. Like, I'm trying to work here, Kevin. And you're over there praising and worshiping. Just being truthful. Now, I say, just keep doing it, Kevin, because I've seen the result in his life. I mean, he just walks in joy all the time. So this is the one that Kevin draws from the most. Where I told you my trigger recently has kind of been walking in the will of God and knowing it. Well, Kevin's main drawing point is praise and worship and thanksgiving. Okay, but I love that end that people will hear it from far off. They'll hear it close too, like Kevin just over the divider. But you won't be able to disguise it. It'll be there. And I was actually going to mention something that up here I go, you know, I don't usually pick out people by name often here, but I love it when I can hear Phil rejoicing during a praise and worship service. I don't know about y'all, but I do. It excites me. So keep doing what you're doing is all I will say. I love it when it's done out of a heart of joy. You don't do that to draw attention, and he doesn't. I know that. He does it because there's joy in him, and it comes out. So that's a good thing. Okay? So time-wise, I'm looking at this. What I do want to say is, don't think that these points that I'm bringing, that I'm sharing from you from the Word of God, is an all-inclusive list. In other words, these are the only ways to draw from joy. I can tell you that I can think of at least 3 more that I'm not going to share with you. If you want to know more, spend time, look into it yourself. You're all adults, and if God leads you to do so, you may be going through your Bible and going, hey, Alan didn't mention this one, here's another way. That's a good thing. Because he'll show them to you as you go along. Thinking back to the teaching here, you'll go, oh, here's another way to draw from that joy that's in me. So for the sake of time, and I actually, Pastor Bill asked me, well, do you need more time? And all I can say is I sensed in my spirit that I was to wrap it up today. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that. And if I don't get to 2 or 3 things, that's perfectly fine. God will get it to his church if he wants you to get it. It's that simple. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the one to get you everything you need. God is. So we'll rely on him to do what he does better than I can. How's that? Okay? So, but we are going to go to just a couple more verses. I don't know if any of you ever heard a speaker go, well, in closing. And then they close like 20 minutes later. And or say, well, that was just my first closing. I have another one now. So what I will say is I will begin to close now. How's that? Though it's not going to end for probably another 15 minutes. I'll begin to close. And let me get down to where my notes are on my closing. I'd like you all to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I wanted to have plenty of time to do this closing because it's one of the things that God showed me was important to share with y'all as we wrap this up. It wasn't to try to cram as many things in as I could. It's, okay, what do you want me to have in here for your people, okay? And what he impressed upon me was, make sure you spend some time on this closing here. This is what I want this wrapped up with, okay? And so in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it's a verse that I've actually mentioned in the past. We really haven't gone into it in some detail, but I want to now because God's impressed upon me. Make sure they see this, okay? Romans 15, 13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at a couple of words specifically here. The Greek word, when you see that phrase, now may the God of hope fill. Let's look at that word fill there and what it really means. The Greek word translated fill here means to cram full or to level up. So have you ever filled a glass right to the top where no more water can fit in it? Completely full. Try picking up that glass and run through your house with it. What's going to happen? It's going to spill out everywhere. See, that's what he's done with joy. He's filled you right up to, I like to say here. Some people have said here, I say here. Because to me, where I see joy coming out is here. In other words, the mouth is shaped this way instead of this way. So you're filled right to here. It makes your the corners of your mouth turn upwards. Also, it starts speaking out things out of that joy. Those praise and worship things that you're thankful for. So he's filled you right up to here. So don't walk around like this. Let it come out. He's filled you right up to here. He's crammed you full. That's what this word fill means here. When you look that up, he's crammed you full. He's leveled you right up. And then it goes on to say, with all joy. I think many of you have heard that when you look up the Greek word used for all and then look at the definition of that word, you know what you find out? It means all. It's one of those that's nice and simple, right? Oftentimes you look up a word and say, well, it really means this. You know, you're seeing this translation here, but it really more means this specifically. Well, here it simply means all. So what we have to do is think about what then is, he could just say, fill you with joy. But he says, fill you with all joy. Because there really are different types of joy. And we've actually talked about this a little bit. You can be walking in that definition of all joy, and you look at that word all, and then you look specifically at the word joy, how it's translated from the original Greek word they used there, and then look at that definition, joy. It means both of these things, joy. Be it a cheerfulness or a calm delight. Okay? So that's part of joy. It's just there's this calm delight in you at all times. You're just cheerful inside. It's there, okay? But it doesn't stop there. That's why some people can say, well, I'm full of joy. It's just in here. But it doesn't stop there. See, when he's filled you with all joy, that means all of it. All types, all manner of. And if you continue on reading that definition, it says, be it a cheerfulness or calm delight within you, to being exceedingly joyful to the point that it no longer can be contained within. Exceedingly joyful to the point where it can no longer be contained. So in other words, there's joy in you, and there's this calm delight, but then there's also this, it's got to come out. It's that simple. Okay? That's what happens to Phil during praise and worship. It's just got to come out. It's that simple. Okay? Now, there's a verse. I actually mentioned this verse, I think, last week, Philippians 4:4. Actually kind of starts a little subsection of a passage where Paul is speaking about something specifically. And it says in 4:4, it says, rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. So that's just kind of the start of it, okay? But if you were to look down at verse 8, he's kind of wrapping up this portion because he says, finally, brethren. That means here's the end. This is why it kind of tied into my ending. It says, finally, brethren, if there is anything true, if there is anything noble, if there's anything just, if there's anything pure, if there's anything lovely, if there's anything of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, what do? Meditate on these things. Here's a key. Don't think the word think there, because it's not. Okay? There's a difference between thinking and meditating. Thinking means, well, I thought about it. Could have been a fleeting thought. Meditate, when you actually look up the word meditate, it's more than that. It's considering. See, consider means to think about with the intention to act. You can think about something and never say, I'm not doing that. When you consider something, you're thinking about it with the intention to act upon it. That's what I want you to do here. Don't think about it. Let's consider it with the thought that I'm going to act on this. Okay? And so it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Well, guess where you find the things that are true? In God's word. So all this that I've been sharing with you from God's word, it is true. If it's true, then Philippians 4:8 says, what are you supposed to do? Meditate on it. Okay? So in other words, meditating is literally muttering out loud the word, the truth, whatever that is. Literally, speak it out over and over again. So start muttering it. There's nothing wrong with meditation. We now sometimes give it a negative connotation because there are certain religions that focus on a meditation that's really not proper meditation. Okay? They call it this. You know, they'll do these incantations or whatever it is. But in truth, meditation is a good thing when you do it the way that God's word says to do it. And it's simply meditate on these things. If it's not in this list, don't meditate on it. Okay? Because it's giving you the list. Here's the things I want you to meditate on. Whatever things are true. Anything that you can find in the word of God, meditate on it. Okay? So if there's one thing to take from this teaching, think about the things that God showed you during these last 10 weeks or so that I've shared and say, oh, that's true, and meditate on it. And see what happens when you start meditating on God's word. It starts getting sunk down in here. And once it gets down in here, then there's something in there for you to draw from, and you can start walking it out, okay? So now I'll go to my final closing. So this, I just want to wrap up. This is another verse that I've mentioned more than once without going to it necessarily and looking at it in full detail. And it's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is really part of where this all began, because when I came back from this trip, I didn't have a chance to share before I went because, as I said, I was already walking in joy. But then I got a chance to start sharing about this, and I go, I just can't explain what I'm walking in. I really can't explain it. And then the Bible, I don't know how I got there. Just spending time in the Word, and all of a sudden, I didn't go looking for it. I wasn't looking for this answer of why am I like this now. I was just one day reading along, and out of the blue, now, the Holy Spirit got me there, because he knew I needed to see it. I know that. But sometimes it just seems like that. You're just minding your own business. And then God goes, there's what you were looking for. And that was 1 Peter 1:8. It says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I want to read this. I'll often look at other translations that seem pretty straightforward to me, but I actually, in looking through a few translations, I saw one that even simplified it more, yet without losing the meaning. Sometimes you can simplify to the point where you've really lost God's true intent of what's really in there, but And this is about as simple as it gets. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the NIRV version. You probably all heard of the NIV, right? Well, there's an NIRV version. And it's written specifically to those of a third grade education. That's what it's written to. And I went and I happened to see how it worded this here. I go, that's really good. Because it just makes it so you can't miss the meaning, and yet it is the true meaning. If you go back and study it out, it really has it accurately. This is what the NIRV says of 1 Peter 1:8. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Here's the part I like it. You are filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words. And that's what I'm going, I can't explain this to you. A man who talks all the time, I don't have the words. And I really couldn't. I couldn't figure out how to say it. And I'm going, there it is. There's why I can't do it. I really can't even put this into words. Now, I thank God that he's helped me, as I've shared this with you these last 10 weeks. But once I saw this, it made me laugh, because it also showed me, well, here's why I'm struggling with this. It's like, you really can't explain this. It's so good. All I can say is it's so good. I only hope that I have somewhat conveyed what I'm experiencing walking in joy. Once, because it's just hard for me to convey. It's amazing. Get there and stay there. Now, as I've said, I also, God's having me specifically share on joy here. But this does not relate only to joy. The Holy Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can take kind of what God has had me walk you through here and do it with any one of those that you find in there. First of all, find out what the Word of God tells you about the love that he's put in you. It says it's his love? The very same love that he loves with. You can say, well, I could never love like that. Well, then you're speaking against the Word of God. Seriously, if you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're his, you can love with the very same love that Jesus and God loves. Now, notice I said the very same love that they love. You know, the Bible says that we use Jesus as our example, and I think some people like to say, well, yeah, just as he did. No, it's just as he is doing. Because you do know he's still alive, right? Okay, hopefully you know that. He's still loving the same way. Okay, that didn't stop. Because it says, as he is, so are we in this word. It's not as he was. It's as he is. He is still alive, and he is in us, and it's his same love inside of us that enables us to love. It's joy that he's put in us that enables us to walk in joy because he's in us. It's the same way with peace. If you're not experiencing peace, let God take you where he wants you to go. Maybe you need more peace in your life. Do this same thing. Go find out all that God has to say about the peace he's put inside of you. And then look into ways to draw from that peace. Do the same thing with love. I'll let God, once again, I like letting God be God, okay? Let him speak to you and say, hey, you know, lead me down through this. I can tell you he's doing one of those very same things with me right now. He actually started at the beginning of this year. And I can say that when he first showed me what he was going to take me to, I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough. This is going to be much harder than joy. Joy was fun. Seriously, joy was fun. But you're going to have me do this one? And my first thought was, this is probably going to take me till the day I die. I'm like, oh. But then, joy going, if this is what he really has for me, this is a really good thing. Okay? Even though it may look like, boy, God, you got an awful lot of work to do in this area. You know the Bible says that we may look at this as like, I've got a lot to do. If you look at Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has what? Begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So in other words, he's working in you. Well, guess what? He started a new work in me in this other area. If you actually go down, keep going with that thought in mind, in Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you. So in other words, he's working in you. He's got a new work he's doing in me, is all I'll say. And he started literally on January 1st with this new work. And I would love to say that 6 months from now, kind of like Joy, I'd be there and walking in 100%. And do I think that I've got everything on Joy? No. I'll still finding out more. It's just the way it works with God. I can say that I know I'm further along than where I was 6 months ago. Let's put it that way. And it's one of the ways I share with people that we are to be 100% different than God. You know, it says we're to be imitators of Christ. We're to be different. We're to be the same as God, okay? Well, there's actually a few ways, but one of the main ways is God never changes. We're always to be changing. Every minute of every day, we're to look more and more like him than we did the day before. And he's doing the work so that we can get there, okay? So I would encourage you all, take what you've listened here to, and don't just listen to it. Use that word consider. Think about with the intention to act. Start drawing from the joy that God has put in you by his Holy Spirit. And actually do, as it says at the end of that passage in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 25, it says, "If then we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We do live in the Spirit. He's inside of us. But it's saying we have a part. We literally have to walk in it. You can choose to walk in it or not. He doesn't force you. He's put his Spirit inside of you, and he's put joy inside of you. He's put love inside of you. You can either keep it in or you can walk in it. So choose to walk in what God has put inside of you. So I will close there and just let you all know I thoroughly enjoyed, notice that word joy, my time sharing about joy with you. And my hope is, and my prayer is, that God really does reveal to you all that he has for you in this so that you can walk in it. Because until you have the revelation of it yourself, you're probably not going to find yourself walking in it. It's when you get that revelation that then it's like, oh yeah, and then you start walking in it. So my prayer is that you all get the revelation of that which he's given me a revelation of, at least to the extent that I now walk in joy.